Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. I almost said good evening there. Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and glad you're with us here this afternoon. And I got a little off on my times there. I was talking with Pastor Lutz as he was exiting the studio here and I was coming in, and I hope you had a chance to listen to him in the last half hour. Always enjoyable, and so I encourage you to listen to him and to Pastor Rusnak, who comes on after us at 2 o'clock. So yeah, Pastor Lutz at 1 and me at 1:30 and Pastor Rusnak at 2 o'clock. It says, I think Pastor Lutz coined the term, the Baptist trifecta. And so I think it's a good hour and a half of radio here on 1220 The Word. But I did want to welcome you to the program here this afternoon, and again, encourage you to keep looking up. I was telling somebody last night that you see things happening and all, and God told us not to look down. We see the things, the impact there of the Lord's return, and we're not to look down, we're to look up, we're to keep looking up, and you can see that in Luke chapter 21, although that's not what I'm going to be talking about right now, although some things that might relate to that a little bit, I'll just read you that verse there since I've mentioned it. He's talking about the events preceding the return of Christ, and he says in verse 28, Gospel of Luke 21:28, and when those things, or these things begin to come to pass, that's like the foreshadowing of these events, not the events themselves, but the foreshadowing. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And I think we live in exciting times. And with that, I've got something I want to talk about today. I actually was all prepared to talk about the New Jerusalem. We've been hit and miss covering the time from the present through the rapture of the church, the catching away of the believers to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, then the 7-year tribulation period, the return of Christ at the end of the tribulation, the Battle of Armageddon, and then the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ, 1,000-year kingdom here on earth, and then we got to the end of the millennium, and of course the devil had been bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He's released, tries one final attempt to unseat God, and then of course that's defeated soundly, and then we have the great white throne judgment, and then we move into eternity in the future, and that's the new heavens and the new earth. And that's kind of where we had left off. We were going to look at the new heavens and new earth in a little more detail, especially the New Jerusalem, but I'm going to have to put off the New Jerusalem again today because there was an exciting development out of Alabama, if you heard about this, and I want to touch on that and something that I think God's people need to be aware of, what's going on. So we're going to talk about that in just a minute, but let's go ahead and open our program in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray that you would bless the program, use it for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And in all things, help us to lift up and glorify Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And of course, I want to remind you, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can listen to past programs. You can listen to some things that I have there. I've got some other things. I got a featured thing there. Back years ago, many of you remember Brother Bruce Musselman, and although he's with the Lord, program that he has, Where Is God's Word, continues to be broadcast here on this station. And I helped him out. Some people know I helped him out for a number of years with that. And he would have me occasionally do the science in the Bible pieces. And I had found one, I was going through some stuff, and I had found one on Noah's Ark. that I had forgotten about, and the impact resistance of Noah's Ark. And because the Bible says it was pitched within and without, and there's an interesting scientific basis to that that I get into. So that's on our website there at livewithpastoral.com, where I have a section listen to one of our favorites, and that's usually a segment from one of the programs or something. But I found that, and I put that on there, Science in the Bible Report, Noah's Ark being impact resistant due to being pitched within and without. I think you'll find that interesting. And I remember Brother Bruce found that interesting. He said, I never heard that before. Well, there's some interesting things that had taken place that illustrated that. So get into that. And then I've got a featured article there. If God exists, why does he allow evil and suffering? And people ask about that every once in a while. So that's there. And of course, there's a link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. Certainly invite you to come out and visit us. And if you're not doing anything tonight, we have our Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock. And it is an informal Bible study. We don't have a set agenda. The agenda is basically the questions and comments that people have that come to the Bible study. And that way we talk about just about anything, just like we often do on some of our radio programs. And basically questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we start at 7, we go to 9, and it's informal setting, so it's not a formal church setting. It's not a formal Bible study where I say, well, tonight, class, we are going to follow our outline, and we are at point number 3, subsection B. No, it's free flow, and people bring questions and comment on things, and I enjoy it. It's one of my favorite you want to call it a service, I guess, but one of my favorite things that we do at our church is our Friday night Bible study. And we've got refreshments and different people bring things in. And so I'd love to have you visit us. And that's at 7 o'clock tonight at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And if you go online to livewithpastoral.com, you can find out more information about the church there and link to it. But we meet at 4174 Wheatley Road. That's 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. We're in a commercial space. We're not in a standalone building with a steeple. If you're looking for a building with a steeple, you won't find us. We're at the corner of Wheatley Road and Brecksville Road near the intersection of 77 and 271 in Richfield, Ohio. And we'd love to have you visit us tonight. We'll have more information on the church at the end of the program. So just wanted to mention that as well. And excuse me, I'm still suffering a little bit from that cough from when I had the flu a few weeks ago. And just like I've talked to several people, it just seems to be a characteristic, this nagging cough that just hangs on. Well, I wanted to get back to this topic here. And something I heard this past week, last night I was at the Ohio Christian Alliance Freedom Banquet in Fairlawn, and I was talking with several people, and amongst them was Steve Krause, and some of you know him. He's one of the co-hosts of the Monday Night Roundtable, and he's running for state representative. And we were talking about personhood, and that's one of the things he wants to introduce if he's elected, is Personhood Act down in Columbus. But there are several states that have been talking about this, and they've got a shot in the arm because of a recent court decision by the Alabama Supreme Court. The Alabama Supreme Court has declared that unborn children are persons. Now, there's a little more to it than just merely that they declared unborn children to be persons, because They had a ruling back in 2018, I believe it was, October 2018, where the Alabama Supreme Court ruled that an unborn baby is a person under law. And I'm going to get to why this declaration of being a person is so important. This stemmed from a case where an Alabama man was convicted of shooting and killing his wife and an unborn child in 2009. The unborn baby was 6 to 8 weeks long, and the man received a death penalty for not only killing his wife, but also for killing the child. And so in the case of Phillips versus the state of Alabama, the argument was made to the Alabama Supreme Court that he should not have been given the death penalty because he claimed that the unborn baby wasn't a person according to Alabama law. The Alabama Supreme Court, however, upheld Phillips' death sentence, and they held that the baby was a person and that, quote, the value of the life of an unborn child is no less than the value of the lives of other persons. Now, there was speculation back in 2018 that this should be applied to overturning Roe v. Wade, because that was still in effect at that time. And I'm going to come to some of the reasons why there in just a minute. Dr. James Dobson had said at the time that he was encouraged by Alabama Supreme Court's opinion, which powerfully affirms the humanity of the unborn in the eyes of the law. And now let's move up to their more recent decision, okay? In their more recent decision, and this came out earlier this past week, the Alabama Supreme Court's ruling recognized the unimplanted, and this is the key difference between what happened in 2018. 2018 was dealing with an unborn child being carried by its mother, and the guy had killed the mother and, of course, the child as well. This is the major difference here with the Alabama Supreme Court ruling this past week. Recognized unimplanted human embryos as children. Now, this is very interesting. This ruling, I guess, took place, this came out in the news this past week, but the state's top court ruled February 16th. That Alabama's Wrongful Death of a Minor Act, which allows parents to recover punitive damages for their children's deaths, includes the parents of unborn children regardless of the ability to survive outside the womb. Now, why that's important is because people who are having fertility issues, and they use in vitro fertilization, and they have embryos which are not implanted in the woman, but they are to be held for future implantation. And this is where this Alabama Supreme Court ruling unimplanted human embryos, which means that those very embryos that are the result of in vitro fertilization, according to state of Alabama, Alabama Supreme Court would be ruled as persons. And this is very important when we think about it in light of several things. One, obviously, we know from the scriptures, and we've talked about this many, many times before, and as a pastor, a Bible teacher, and having a biology background, I can certainly attest to the importance of what we read over in, in Psalms 139. Where the Bible gives us the very definition of when life occurs. And it says in Psalm 139, verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Now, so far, we're talking about an unborn child clearly within the womb. But when does life begin? I heard somebody on another program, another station, arguing that, we begin as an embryo, then at some stage we become a fetus, and then we become a baby, and all of that, I guess, is technical, technically true from the language, but as the person he was talking to said, yes, but in every case, it's a human life, and the guy admitted it, but he wasn't sure when personhood began. And, what does the Bible say if we continue reading this? Well, let's continue. He says in verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. And that's a somewhat of a poetical reference to the, or metaphorical to the conception in the womb. And this is the key. And having a biology background, anybody that knows biology understands the truth of Psalm 139 in verse 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. At the moment of conception, some amazing things happen. The DNA from the father is combined with the DNA from the mother. Now, every cell in your body has a complete complement, you know, 23 chromosomes, and they're paired up, and basically the sperm cell has half of that pair, and the egg cell has half of that pair. And that's what allows for the unique mixing of the different characteristics and all. When they come together, they form a unique combination of DNA, unique from the father, unique from the mother. And this is an amazing thing that happens. There's some studies and some things that have shown, and they talk about light flashing across the surface of the egg. It's really sort of a fluorescence. And I was reading an article this morning where they were trying to poo-poo that idea, and they said, well, it's not really light. It's a dye that's in the solution, and when these zinc ions are released from the surface of the egg at the moment of conception, it causes a fluorescent effect. And I thought to myself, well, fluorescence in light, you know, when I see lightning bugs, that's a fluorescent effect. Somebody breaks a glow stick, that's a fluorescent effect. I call that light. But even if there's no actual light and it's just a reaction of a dye to zinc ions being released from the surface of the egg, there is something there that telegraphs that something has happened. And this happens when I believe it's a protein in the sperm cell reacts and it causes the zinc ions that are on the surface of the egg to be released. But at any rate, what happens is at that moment the DNA combines within the egg and a new life is formed. And at that moment, that moment of conception, when a new life is formed, that new life, as I said, unique from the father, unique from the mother, it's a human life at that moment. It consists of a fertilized cell, and that's it. But it is a human life, unique from the mother, unique from the father. And at that moment, God can see your substance, yet being unperfect, and in his book, all our members are written. That DNA is the book that God has written for us that'll decide whether you have red hair, black hair, brown hair, blonde hair, whether you're going to have earlobes that hang free or attached, whether you're going to be tall and skinny by your build, or whether you're going to be shorter and stockier by your build. All kinds of things determined at that effect, at that moment. In his book, in God's book, that's the DNA, which is literally written in a language that codes for information. It has syntax, it has grammar, it has vocabulary, it has all of the aspects of language. It is the most complex code known to man. There's no computer code, no human language, no machine language that is more complex than the DNA language. It is absolutely amazing. And when I studied biology in the late 70s, early 1980s at Colorado State University, there's a lot we didn't know about DNA. And now they're finding that that so-called junk DNA is all used for something. It is the most incredible language, the most incredible means of conveying information ever seen. It's God's book. And in his book, all our members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Nothing except a fertilized egg. Because at the moment of conception, you become a unique individual. You know, as a man, I have an XY chromosome complement. I can prove that I was distinct from my mother. When I was unborn, from the moment of conception till the moment of birth, I was distinct from my mother because my mother did not possess a Y chromosome. She only had the XX chromosome complement. The Y chromosome came from my father, and at the moment of conception, I was distinct from my mother. I was not my mother. I was not my mother's body. My body was not my mother's body. I was distinct, but I was contained within my mother's body because I had not yet developed enough that I could be in the outside world. And when I was born, I still was not developed enough that I could live on my own without assistance from my mother and my father. You know, people try to say, well, you have to wait until they reach the time where they are, they're sustainable, you know, and some nonsense like that. That's ridiculous. Can a newborn baby sustain its own life? Can a newborn baby take care of itself? How about a one-year-old? Just let your one-year-old just lay there and take care of itself, right? Well, you know, it all stages of our life, we go through changes. You became a distinct human being at the moment of birth. And this ruling in Alabama that the unborn child, regardless of whether it's in the womb or in the petri dish, so to speak, is a person. And because it's a person, we live in the United States of America, which we have in our Constitution certain guarantees of protection. And this is important for us to understand because we have in two amendments in the United States Constitution. The first one's in the Bill of Rights. This is Amendment Number 5, no person. And I'm going to drop down to the pertinent part here for time's sake. No person, talking about people, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. What that's saying is no person should be deprived of life without due process of law. Now, that applies to the federal government. What do you suppose that means? You can't execute somebody, end their life, take their life, without the court reviewing and making a case for it. If you apply personhood from the Alabama State Supreme Court to the unborn child, guess what? You cannot abort that child, according to the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution, unless the court reviews it without due process. There has to be due process of law. Well, that's a federal. Does it get anything for the state? Absolutely. Look at the 14th Amendment. All persons, this is in the Section 1 of the 14th Amendment, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and state in which they reside, yada, 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 and nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. There it is again, United States Constitution, Amendment 5, Amendment 14. Amendment 5 dealing with the federal government, Amendment 14 dealing with the state government, cannot deprive a person of life without due process of law. You know, we're commiserating over the abortion amendment to the United States Constitution back in November. Guess what? This supersedes the Ohio Constitution. This supersedes the abortion amendment. No person shall be deprived of life without due process of law. I think God's people need to get onto this and pray about this. We can use this to defend life. Thank you for listening today. Join us again next week and join us Sunday night. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night
from 10 to midnight.
And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.